option, so you will just have to push through. What do children say these days? Chug? Or am I behind the times?
Are you saying I'm supposed to drink all of it at once?
As much of it as you can, anyway.
Shaking his head, Rick eyed the teapot. Was he really going to just drink the whole thing? Should I put it in something else or just directly out of the spout?
Stop being a pussy and just drink it, dearie.
Granny Whitney shook her head.
Oh, forgive my language. It's a rather silly phrase, isn't it? But seriously, drink it.
Driven by the desire not to have an old woman using language like that at him, Rick picked up the entire pot and began drinking from the spout. It burned more than the mix of tea before, but unlike drinking elixir directly, it wasn't like fire through his body. Instead, it was like molten lava pushing through his veins. He wanted to stop, but he felt like if he did, he couldn't convince himself to start again, so he drank the entire thing. Somehow, he set the empty teapot back down, then he slumped back in his chair. For a while, he just did his best to stay conscious. Eventually, he came to, still in the chair and without having vomited or anything else embarrassing. Granny Whitney seemed to be brewing a new pot of tea, hopefully a normal one this time. When she saw he was up, she turned back to him and smiled.
Very good, dearie. Now, let's get rid of that leech, shall we?
He couldn't quite believe it, but he realized that it was true. The third leech was no longer draining his strength. When he focused inside himself, it didn't burrow into his lucrema, instead rising to the surface. Going on instinct, Rick reached inside himself and tried to push the aura leech out. To his surprise, it worked almost immediately. The creature emerged from his chest, flopped around on the floor a while, and then suddenly curled up into itself and vanished. It was gone. One of the three was entirely gone. He felt stronger already, though it was just a single step in the right direction. Both procedures had left him weak and drained, but that was apparently why Granny Whitney was making tea. She finished and brought it back to the table. Once he had a cup of it, he felt much more himself and ready to make use of all the new strength he'd been given.
"Go on," she said. "I can see you're itching to get out that phone of yours. See what you've made of yourself."
Rick didn't need to be told twice. Name: Rick Hunter. Ether tier, 18th. Ether score, 161. Lucrum generation, 22,800. Effective rate, 15,547. Current lucrum, 16,426. Rick Hunter's lucrema portfolio: Foundation, 7,400, level 2. Offensive lucor, 3,850, level 3. Defensive lucor, 6,550, level 5. Gram's stake, 3,100, level 2. Aura leech, negative 4,641, stage 2. Aura leech, negative 2,612, stage 1. Tracking bond, 100, level 13. Gross lucrum, 22,800. Net lucrum, 15,547. For a moment, he was satisfied with all the progress he'd made. He had a new, high-quality core, and one of the leeches was gone. He'd been working toward those things for a long time. But the next moment, he felt a bit of disappointment. All of that work just to get back to almost where he had been before his parents had left him the terrible debts. After that, however, Rick forced himself to be more positive. It wasn't true that he was back in the same position. His lucrum generation rate might be about the same, but his use of it was far more effective. He'd made significant progress, and he'd make even more as he kept moving forward. "I think I've hit my limit for the day," he said. "But what do we aim for next? Can we take out another one of the leeches?"
"You'll certainly want to do that in time, but perhaps not right away."
Granny Whitney didn't sit down again, instead coming over to put a hand on his shoulder.
"You've done well today, but I'm afraid we're running out of time. Let's get down to the underground so that you can have your match, hmm?"
After so much time spent working on himself, a fight sounded good. Plus, it was going to be a new type, which might be interesting. Rick followed Granny Whitney out of the building and over to the underground, his steps surprisingly light. When they reached the chain-link fences leading into the arena itself, she stopped him. He was focused forward, noting the large crowd and lack of other fighters, but she pulled his attention back to her. After looking through her handbag for a time, she pulled out a large blue pill and handed it to him.
"Take this pill, dearie. This is going to be a difficult fight."
"All right." He swallowed it without any water, hoping it would give him the edge he needed. Yet as he felt it dissolve into him, his head spun. All the strength seemed to be draining out of his body, and he found himself clutching the fence just to stand up.
"I don't feel... Should I have taken that so soon after the rest?"
"Oh, dear, it seems you've misunderstood me. This battle is going to be difficult because of that pill I just gave you."
Granny Whitney patted his cheek.
"Now, get out there and try your best, dearie."
Chapter 19. Handicap.
"Another three-way match!"
Alger sat forward in his seat, watching gleefully.
"Three more contestants who have begun to prove themselves. Fight!"
Rick's vision was blurring horribly, and his body felt like it would shrivel up at any moment. The announcement was actually his first indication that he was only fighting two other people, since it was hard to focus on those in the arena versus those watching. Then one of them burst into flame. Okay, he was easy to see. Rick slumped backwards as fireballs started flying, managing to avoid the initial burst. It would have made sense to close the distance and attack the burning opponent, but the dizziness made even walking difficult. His hope of the other two fighting each other was dashed as well when he felt someone else rushing at him. Focusing, he could barely see that it was a middle-aged woman in a tracksuit, moving pretty fast directly for him. If he was going to make it through, he needed to finish the match quickly. She opened with a kick that had a fair amount of lucrum behind it, but he managed to dodge aside. Another kick came immediately after, but he pulled himself together, deflected it, and then slammed an elbow into her face. Except she caught the blow. Normally, he would have reacted in time to evade, but disoriented as he was, he ended up taking a kick to the chest. Rick staggered back, his defensive core preventing serious injury, but not blocking the pain as it normally should. Worse, she lifted her leg, aiming to bring it down on his head. Fighting through his symptoms, Rick dodged the downwards kick and struck back. She deflected his next blow and returned it with one of her own. As they traded blows, Rick realized that she was not only stronger than him, she was probably more skilled. Some type of kickboxing style, reserving her hands for defense. Direct physical contact was a mistake then, but he didn't have the time or mental capacity to come up with a better plan. The ring just kept spinning around him, and the strength he should have had simply refused to come. He mentally cursed Granny Whitney for putting him in this situation, then realized he was overreaching and was going to take a vicious kick. He was saved by an onslaught of flames from the third fighter. They definitely hurt, but he was able to tank them while the woman had evaded backward. That gave him a few moments of freedom, which he used to stagger clear. Given how his condition was worsening, if anything, this might be his only chance to turn the tide of the fight. Forcing himself to focus through the haze, Rick ducked beneath another burst of flame and sprinted toward the burning opponent. Another bolt shot directly at his face, and he had no time to think, just smashed his hand at it. Though it singed painfully, he managed to deflect it and came into range. Punching the flaming aura hurt like hell, but he felt his opponent stagger backward. Rick knew he should take advantage of that and follow up, yet he felt as though he'd used up everything in that charge. When his opponent restored his flames, Rick realized that he needed to return to defense. The flaming man spun in a low kick that released a swath of flame across the ground. All Rick could manage to do was jump straight up, avoiding the flames but leaving himself vulnerable to a direct strike, or the woman grabbing his ankle while he was still in midair. She swung his body directly into the flaming man, sending both of them smashing over the ground and into the chain-link fence. It was the most Rick could do to hold back the flames threatening to scorch him, then slowly push himself back to his feet. After that, it was only a matter of time. He refused to give up or fall easily, but he didn't have the strength to land any attacks, so he quickly wore himself down. Over time, he managed to regain some focus, despite the dizzying haze around him and his overall weakness, but it wasn't enough. Blow by blow, flame by flame, he eventually dropped. Rick was lying on the ground wishing he was dead when he finally heard the bell marking the end of the match. Someone pulled him from the arena and gave him basic medical treatment. He drifted in and out of consciousness for a while, then gradually returned. Strangely, though his bruises and burns ached when he sat up, he felt less horrible than he should have. The strength that had been taken from him was flowing again, leaving him in decent condition. With no other options, Rick pulled out his phone to check the results. Match performance. Participation, +5. Fall, -3. -3. Endurance, +1. Total reward, 3. Cumulative points, 115. That was his worst match so far, entirely because Granny Whitney had handicapped him from the start. He should have felt anger, but when he was honest with himself, he knew that he should have expected such a thing. When he saw her enter the room, he just gave her a flat stare.
Are you going to tell me what that was about?
Collecting points is a fine hobby, dearie, but it won't matter in the end.
She walked in and handed him something that looked like a mint, actually, though he could feel lucrum within it.
Right now, winning is less important for you than training.
And getting the shit kicked out of me is training.
Actually, the point was to kick the shit out of your foundation. Test yourself. See how it feels.
He closed his eyes and tried to do so, and to his surprise, he found that his foundation had changed. It felt denser, but not the way it did after normal condensation. Instead, it was as if parts of it had been burned and hammered into a different shape.
That pill I gave you exists for foundation improvement, but there's only so much you can put yourself through during the critical period. No matter how much willpower you have, you won't be able to be as hard on yourself alone as you would be trying to fight two opponents who aren't holding back.
Rick nodded slowly, accepting that she had a rationale other than cruelty. Didn't make too much of a difference to what he was facing, though. I'm guessing this isn't the last time.
Goodness, no! Get used to the side effects, dearie, because you'll be feeling them every match from now on.
Are you sure this isn't bad for me? My foundation might be denser, but it feels damaged.
Don't worry your pretty little head about that. You'll be fine if you take your medicine and keep going.
Granny Whitney pointed to the pill she'd handed him and then turned.
Having said that, I need to be going now. Lots to do, lots to do. Have fun until your next match, okay, dearie?
All he could do was nod. Rick swallowed the pill she'd given him and did feel a little better, though it tasted and dissolved exactly like a mint, so part of him had to wonder if it wasn't just a piece of candy and the placebo effect. It was hard to put anything past the old woman. After taking a moment to collect himself, he left the room and almost immediately ran into Henry. His friend had a bandaged cut along his forearm, but otherwise looked fine.
Hey, man, looks like we had matches at almost the same time. You all right? That was a pretty weak showing out there.
I don't want to talk about it.
That's cool, man. Just saying. Try to get as many points as you can. There's a rumor that there will be a big event in a couple months or so, but not everyone will be able to participate.
Most likely that was referring to the multi-tier tournament that Granny Whitney wanted to use him for. It felt odd knowing more about the underground than Henry, though Rick wasn't sure it was worth the price. Besides, it felt like his friend had improved again.
That demonic bond seems to be working out for you.
Kind of.
Henry had it out, and Rick kept pace with him as they headed back to the surface.
I got it upgraded to 12,000 lucrum, but I don't think it's going to improve much more than that. I could take a second bond, but the terms would be worse. Basically, I'm starting to see the limits of trying to gain power this way.
Well, it definitely helped you this far.
Rick didn't say anything about the real limitation, the consequences of overusing a demonic bond. Especially not since Henry would just needle him about his recent poor performance.
It's like I said earlier, man. Nothing's set up to help out the little guy. We're doing a lot better than some, and we're still not able to get ahead.
Henry shook his head as if to shed those thoughts, and then smiled at him.
You want to do something, man? Since I haven't been working as much lately, I feel like we haven't hung out in forever.
Why not? I'm not doing much right now, and I could use some recovery time.
If that's what you want, there's a place not far away that makes Lucrum shakes. They're not going to change your life, but they're cheap, and they should help you recover a bit. I could go for one myself.
After the recent challenges, that sounded good to him. Sure, let's go.
All right, just let me stop by the shrine on our way.
Rick held his tongue and didn't complain. Soon enough, they arrived at the shrine, a gaudy little place next to a gas station. The upper tiers were plastered with posters that declared the incredible power of Malkor the Magnificent, another independent mystic with a gimmick, basically. Trying not to judge, Rick just stayed back and watched. Bending down in front of the Lucrum collector, Henry focused and extracted some of his aura. He created a large drop in his palm that must have cost him 100 Lucrum or so, then dropped it into the collection bowl. Mystic lights flashed overhead, power flowed around the bowl to consume the aura, and then the collector spat out a ticket. Henry grabbed it, then repeated the process several more times. Once he'd collected 5 tickets, he stood up, pocketing them with a pleased expression on his face, as if he hadn't just blown 500 Lucrum on nothing at all. Really, man? Rick knew that he shouldn't, but found himself unable to help it. You know the chances of the mystic picking you are like 1,000,000 to 1. It's throwing Lucrum away.
Nah, man, I have a system.
Henry flashed his tickets with a grin.
The mystic doesn't like to pick students from the same location too many times in a row, so I change up which shrine I use based on the past winners. Plus, your odds go way up if you donate 5 times or more.
Sure, 5 in 1,000,000. Have you ever even met the mystic? Gotten anything?
I mean, I haven't gotten lucky yet, but he sent me a pretty nice scroll once. Learning the tech on that thing raised my generation rate by over 150 Lucrum.
And most likely he'd spent far more than that acquiring it, but Rick got himself under control because he didn't want an argument. Uncle Frank had always said that the independent mystics were basically just increasing their power by parting fools from their Lucrum, and it seemed that was true. In the old days, they had to sit on their mountaintops and rely on intrepid fighters to offer donations. These days, they could automate the whole system and gain far more power. They started to walk away from the shrine, and Rick tried to think of an easy way to change the topic. Before he could, the door to the gas station opened and 2 people walked out. 2 people he wouldn't have expected to see at all, much less together. The first was Emily, the fighter from the underground, and the second was one of the 2 birth riders who had beaten him with Mike. Rick stared in shock, wondering what to do, and then they made eye contact, and he didn't have a choice anymore. Chapter 20. Emily. For a moment, no one said a word. Rick turned away, almost hoping that it would pass without any comment, but then the birth rider took a step forward.
Holy shit, it's that guy Mike was looking for. You have any idea how pissed he is?
Rick sighed. He mentioned it to me.
He said we should take a swing at you if we got the chance. Maybe I will.
Though Rick didn't want to get into a fight outside a random gas station, he realized that he might not have a choice. Just one more twist of fate for life to throw at him. The guy looked a couple years older than Mike and had his dark hair cut unfashionably short. He wore jeans and a polo shirt that looked normal, but that Rick suspected cost an absurd amount of money. For a birth rider, he was pretty built, and he still had a strong aura. Now that Rick was more accustomed to powerful Lucrum, he suspected that this one had a core that produced a generation rate of around 110,000 Lucrum.
Cool it, Glenn.
The woman had a stern, normal expression, but now proved that was nowhere near a frown as she fixed the birth rider with a vicious gaze. He turned to her and scowled back.
Why are you getting involved? You know these losers?
They're just random people from the underground, but I've had enough pointless fights for the day. Back off!
For a moment, they stared at each other, auras seething. As far as Rick could tell, Emily had a generation rate of roughly 85,000 Lucrum and should have been at a disadvantage, yet that didn't seem to be the dynamic between them. She was entirely calm, while Glenn was the one putting up a front and eventually backing down. After taking several steps back, he turned back to jab a finger in Rick's direction.
All right, you get off today, but it's only a matter of time.
He ran a finger across his throat, smiled unpleasantly, and then turned and stalked away. Emily watched him go, then turned to them with an irritated expression.
I don't like that I got involved in this, but since you made him go away, I'll call us even.
What exactly was this?
Henry glanced at Glenn's retreating back, then smirked.
Fight with your boyfriend?
Hardly.
Emily cast both of them a look of pure scorn, and Rick winced to be included in it.
We used to work together, and he wanted me to bail him out again.
Henry started to say something else that probably wouldn't help, so Rick stepped between them and cut him off.
I know you said you didn't want to get involved, but even a little information from you could help me a lot. Mike and Glenn have it out for me, as you probably heard. Do you know anything about them?
Not very much. I just used to work for Mike's dad.
Emily gave a shrug.
It was a decent job and their tech staff are good, but too many of the executives are douchebags with birthright cores and trust funds. I saw Mike a few times, but I never met him.
And Glenn?
He was over our department. His dad went to school with Mike's dad or something, so he got him a job. Something-something nepotism. I wasn't paying attention at that point. I was on my way out because I was tired of cleaning up Glenn's messes. But because he's an incompetent tool, he came to ask me for more help.
Rick nodded thoughtfully, absorbing the new information. Not exactly actionable, but it gave him a better idea what he was dealing with. Based on how they'd worked together and what Glenn had said earlier, Rick was afraid that Mike had both of his friends looking for him. Even if this was a solely personal vendetta and McGuire Incorporated didn't get involved, he had three threats to worry about. While Rick was thinking, Henry spoke up again.
So, where do you work now?
Not that it's any of your business, but Ethcom.
Seriously? A cute girl like you shouldn't be a slave to a corporation like that.
There might have been worse things to say, but Rick wasn't sure what they could have been. Emily's eyes went extremely cold.
Excuse me?
Why, don't tell me you're going to defend your corporate masters. They don't care about you. You're just a cog in their machine.
To Rick's surprise, Emily laughed, though not pleasantly.
Unless you're secretly a terrorist, you're a lot more enmeshed in the machine than I am. I'm an engineer with a valuable specialty. I could leave Ethcom anytime I wanted. I'm guessing the two of you don't have that option, whatever form of wage slavery you take part in.
Hey, I was playing nice, but...
Henry, Rick put a hand in front of him to shut him up and focused on Emily. We don't want to pick a fight here. If Glenn visited here, does that mean he knows about the underground? Do you think it's likely that he'd tell Mike and they might try something?
Probably.
Emily folded her arms and regarded him coolly.
Glenn and his buddies are more bark than bite, so it's not like they'd put a hit out on you. But there's a good chance they'll show up. Honestly, if I was in your shoes, I'd just make myself scarce. It's not like you have much of a chance against them, especially not if you're blowing all your lucrum on independent mystics.
Rick bristled and tried not to overreact. I don't play those games. Henry was the one who...
Hey!
Henry grabbed his shoulder.
Don't try to lie to impress her, man. You're always going on about winning big and becoming a student of some mystic.
Completely stunned for a moment, Rick stared at Henry, who gave him a smug grin. Okay, maybe it had been a dick move to throw Henry under the bus, but he hadn't wanted Emily to get the wrong impression. He really wanted to get to know her better, for multiple reasons, but right now that seemed very unlikely. She regarded both of them, and he could tell she was analyzing them as fighters. Unfortunately, with his Lucrema portfolio hampered by life circumstances and bearing the two remaining leeches, he must have looked pathetic. Though there wasn't quite scorn in her eyes, he didn't like what he saw there.
What does Whitney see in you?
She spoke almost underneath her breath, and he wanted to inquire further. But after that, Emily turned away.
I'll leave you two to your fun.
Before he could object, she lifted into the air and disappeared in a streak of purple aura. Not the introduction he would have wanted. So, she was an engineer of some kind. That explained her high lucrum generation rate, though not what she was doing fighting in the underground. Her reference to Granny Whitney was strange as well, since it might have been a simple observation that she assisted him, but it also could imply that he was missing information.
What a bitch!
Henry glared after her sourly.
Okay, maybe I came on too strong, but seriously, she was looking down on us from the start.
Why are you acting like a dick, man? Rick turned on him, but his co-worker just chuckled.
Come on, man, you know you don't have a chance with her.
I don't care about that. I care that she might have information about the guy who promised violent vengeance on me. He didn't raise his voice often, but realized that it had gotten out of control. Henry's eyes widened as he realized that they weren't just messing around, and he raised his hands.
Sorry, man, honestly.
Does she come to the underground on any sort of schedule?
Not that I can tell. It's pretty random.
Fine. Rick turned away, considering his options. Based on what Emily had said, it wasn't likely that she had any terribly sensitive information about Mike and his cronies. But he wanted to ask her about her aura and the methods she used to fight more powerful opponents. There was something more solid about her lucrima that he thought might hold some secret he was lacking.
You want to just go get those lucrim shakes?
Though Rick wanted to snap back, he realized that he was acting childishly. Henry was just being his usual self, and he shouldn't have expected anything different. He wouldn't gain anything by lashing out or making a big deal of it.
All right, man, let's see if they're as good as you say.
As it turned out, they weren't bad. Not the best thing he'd ever tasted, but really cheap for a lucrum-based drink. Things were only awkward for a little while before they got back to normal and left the matter behind them. At least, out loud. Internally, Rick found himself wondering about his decisions. Honestly, Henry was probably the sort of person his Uncle Frank would disapprove of, participating in illegal fights and taking on heavier and heavier demonic bonds. Though Rick thought of himself as independent, he couldn't deny that he might be influenced subconsciously. Emily had glanced over both of them like they were exactly the same, beneath her attention. Several days passed without anything significant coming of the encounter, though Rick kept watching his back. The way Emily had talked about Mike and Glenn made him slightly less worried, but he still didn't want to be on the receiving end of their wrath. Now that he knew that Granny Whitney was going to be handicapping him in every match, he was able to prepare differently. He tried to keep himself at full strength, which was easier now that he had more money and lucrum to work with. Some days, he even considered if he could quit working at the House of the Cosmic Fist, though the rational side of his brain told him that would be far too risky. For now, anyway. Rick wasn't sure what had caused it, but something had changed within him. He didn't want to be working at a crappy little gym his entire life, to be someone people like Emily looked down on, to get kicked around by the powerful. Of course, neither did anyone else. But he found himself driven to change it in a way he never had been before. When Melissa had another severe incident, he didn't let it slow him down. Instead of panicking, he made sure she had her normal medication, let lucrum flow to ease the ether void, and even purchased another item from the pharmacy that was supposed to lessen her symptoms. But this time, she didn't get better. Chapter 21. Worth Any Price. Rick sat on the couch, staring at the carpet as if it would give him answers. Currently, Melissa lay in her room, sleeping soundly after her condition had flared up again. The life-threatening emergencies seemed to come and go, but the ether void within her soul refused to go away. He kept feeding her lucrum in order to keep her at 1,000 or more, but it was no true solution. The bitter part was that he kept getting distracted by trivial details. She had missed school the previous day, and the school had called, and to add insult to injury, they refused to believe anything without a doctor's note. Of course, if they could afford a doctor, they wouldn't have this problem. Now his sister's life was at stake, and he was being pestered by administrators about school absences. It was obvious that he couldn't resolve this alone. It was just a question of what he could actually do. After considering all his options and trying to call Uncle Frank, he decided that he had no choice but to beg. One more time, he glanced at her profile. Melissa Hunter, Lucrum Generation, 3,249. Current Lucrum, 1,000. Ether void, -3. The void had already gone to -3, even though she'd taken medication so recently. Though it wasn't worsening faster, as far as he could tell, the fact that it never subsided completely made this into a nightmare that would eventually take her life. Padding into the bedroom, Rick checked that his sister had everything she needed. He bent down to lightly touch her hair, and her eyes opened immediately. Right now, she was doing okay, with no obvious pain or shivering, but he thought she was hiding her discomfort from him. "I'm going out for a bit, Melissa. I need to talk to a few people about what we might do."
"I'm really sorry about this."
She hadn't apologized since the beginning, but now there were tears in her eyes. Rick hastily shook his head and sat down beside her. "Don't even start. This isn't your fault, and we'll get through this together."
"But you have so many other things you need to worry about."
"I'd give even more to help you. We're the only family we have, sis. We stick together." She smiled and nodded.
"Then go. I won't push myself, but I'm really feeling pretty good right now. Don't fret about me. Just do what you can."
Managing to find a smile for her, Rick headed out. After getting his keys and locking the door behind him, he leapt from the third floor of their apartment and began running. Though he didn't expect her to collapse the instant he left, he didn't want to be away from her for long, and he had a great deal he needed to do. If he could, he would have spent everything he had on a Lucrum vehicle to fly him to his destinations, but that required a higher ether score than he possessed to do legally, and he couldn't afford the risk of any of the unofficial options. In between caring for his sister, Rick had done his best to research more, even though it was mostly going over the same sources they'd read long ago. Researching about her new condition did turn up a few new sites, but they were mostly filled with the desperate and grieving. Of course, there were a few who declared all of modern medicine to be a hoax and that natural medicines could keep the condition at bay. The frustrating thing was that the world was filled with special herbs and ancient remedies, so they could always find a way to justify their position and avoid being seen as complete quacks. But based on how his sister's condition had come and gone, he doubted there was anything more to their remedies than confirmation bias. His first stop was Granny Whitney's house near the underground. He didn't want to take that step, but with his sister's life on the line, he couldn't afford to ignore it. Since he had already called ahead to say that he would miss his previous match, she was waiting for him.
"This isn't how this relationship is supposed to work, dearie."
Her smile was as grandmotherly as always, yet somehow discomforting.
"But since you've been a good lad so far, I decided to hear you out. What's troubling you these days?"
"I haven't mentioned her, but I have a sister with a serious medical condition." He described the situation briefly, ending with the recent difficulties. Granny Whitney listened quietly and nodded once he was done.
"Yes, ether voids can be very troublesome unless they're taken care of early."
"I know that there are cures for those with enough money," Rick said, "but I haven't been able to find out what that cure actually entails."
"The details are always hidden, and many corporations or sects claim to have special cures, but they all come down to the same thing: removing the core of the patient's lucrima and entirely rebuilding it."
Rick blinked. "That's possible? I mean, you can survive that?"
"Not without assistance."
Granny Whitney shook her head.
"You see, most of us have a tiny seed of ourselves at the core of our soul, the lucrum equivalent of an aura spark. Lucrum from the natural world stick to that seed, and over the years the lucrum grow by accretion until you have a proper lucrima soul. But not everyone is the same. For example, some seeds are naturally sticky, making a person develop sooner, and some are so slippery that the person never develops any strength and dies not long after birth."
"And my sister's seed is wrong somehow? It can't maintain its grip on lucrum?"
"She doesn't have one at all. At the core of her being, there isn't the seed of a soul, but a flame, you might say. It might be able to gather lucrum around it, but the flame eats it away from within. Given extremely expensive surgery, it might have been possible to snuff out that flame and transplant a synthetic seed when she was younger. Now, the flame has likely grown too intense."
All he could do was stare at her, wishing that someone had told him this earlier, that things could have been different. But what could he have done, other than be born into a wealthy family? Are you saying there's no hope? No other way to help her?
In theory, it might be possible to build a shell of Lucrum around the flame, one durable enough that it isn't drawn in. If she trained enough, she could maintain that shell herself.
Granny Whitney shrugged.
But the arts for that are rare, and the process would be expensive. There's likely nothing that can be done.
Please. He would have gotten down on his knees if he thought it would help, but looking in her eyes, he didn't see any mercy there. You've helped me get this far. Can we take everything you were going to give me and give it to my sister instead? Granny Whitney shook her head slowly.
Dear boy, think this through. I'm willing to help you because it benefits my interests in the end. Your sister isn't a part of my plans.
Rick stared at her numbly. He had suspected that she would turn him down, but he still wasn't sure how to deal with her looking him in the eye with that kind smile and telling him that she didn't care about his sister's life. Yet as they maintained eye contact, he knew that it was true.
I'm sorry that it has to be this way, dearie. I truly am. Ether voids are an awful shame. But since the condition is rather rare, there's been no real need to move beyond the established solutions.
You aren't sorry. Rick took a deep breath and stood up. But you've already invested time and money in me for your little contest. You don't want to throw that away. Her eyes glittered sharply.
Just what are you saying?
That if you do nothing and let my sister die, my life won't be worth enough to me for you to blackmail me. I might not be able to threaten you with any real harm, but you can bet that I'll do everything in my power to make your investment worthless. To his surprise, Granny Whitney chuckled.
You have a strong spine, lad. But as I told you, your sister is likely too old for the replacement operation, and in any case, that would require far more wealth than I ever intended to spend on you. I might be willing to cooperate a little, but you'll need to make me a better offer.
What about the other option, the shell? I imagine you wouldn't simply give us a technique that rare or pay for someone to implement it, but does the process have to be done all at once? Surely even a semi-permanent shell would be an improvement over the current situation.
It would prolong her life, yes. Perhaps buy enough time for a better solution.
Then we'll do that. I won't ask you for a single lucrum, but you have to give me the basic knowledge of how the technique can be performed, or we have no hope at all.
Unfortunately, such techniques are closely guarded secrets that even I haven't uncovered.
Just when he was about to object, Granny Whitney leaned forward, a spark in her eyes.
But I have given this problem a little thought myself, and I can show you an alternative. Perhaps one that would even be more suited to your situation.
She outlined the basics, and he committed it all to memory. When she dismissed him, Rick was tempted to thank her, but realized that she probably wouldn't care. So instead, he just nodded to her and left, rushing back home on a route that would take him past the liquor store. The basic concept involved several steps. First, overload Melissa with new lucrum, easy to do with Philosopher's Elixir. Second, have her solidify that into a core with no other purpose. She'd gotten good marks in lucrum education in school, so she should be able to do it. Third, find some way to push her lucrum away from the core flame. That one would be the problem. If they succeeded in all of those, then Melissa's condition should stabilize for the short term. More importantly, if she could find a way to maintain the sphere of lucrum and turn it into a proper shell, it could become a long-term solution. Perhaps not a cure, and maintaining it sounded ludicrously expensive, but it was worth trying. Inside the liquor store, Travis sat in his glass box, drinking from a plastic cup. The store was empty, and the owner seemed vaguely irritated to see a customer, illogical as that seemed. But Rick had no time for such concerns today. I need Philosopher's Elixir, as high quality as you have.
You can't afford the highest, kid.
Travis stared at him for a bit, then grunted and pointed to a grimy sheet of paper with prices listed.
That's what we have. Money on the counter first.
Looking over the list, Rick saw that he was right. There was no way that he could afford the highest quality elixir the store sold. Above 250K, it actually required payments of lucrum in addition to money. but with all the money he had been earning from fights in the underground, he could just barely afford the 250K option. A bottle of 250K, then. He set his money down on the transaction counter, but to his surprise, Travis didn't grab it immediately.
That's strong stuff, kid. I'm not supposed to sell it to somebody like you.
Are you really going to turn down my money?
Ain't that simple. For one, if you get yourself killed or do something stupid, it could come back to me.
Travis watched him with a smug look.
And based on your behavior last time, I'm starting to think that you might be prone to irrational behavior.
Gritting his teeth, Rick began to consider his other options. The glass cube was built to withstand people stronger than him, but it wasn't invincible. He knew intellectually that robbing a store would never lead him to a real solution, but he was running out of options. Something in his eyes must have changed because Travis switched to a frown.
Tell you what, if you pay me for that bottle you cheated from me last time, and you get down on your knees and beg, maybe I'll sell it to you.
Rick slapped the money down on the counter and dropped to the floor. Please, I beg you. Someone I love is very sick and without...
All right, already.
Travis shifted back in his seat, staring at him. He tried to laugh mockingly, but it just sounded uncomfortable.
Didn't realize you'd be that shameless. If you're willing to go that far, it's yours. And don't think about testing this one. Believe me, it's 250K.
The money had already been collected, so Rick stood up and accepted the bottle. This one glowed brilliantly in his hands, though he still checked as best he could. It definitely felt far more intense than any philosopher's elixir he'd ever handled before, intense enough that he didn't dare try it personally. But hopefully, that meant it would be enough for Melissa. Travis started to say something else to mock him, but Rick turned around and walked out without listening to a word. He had almost no money left, so if this didn't work, better not to think about that. Securing the bottle in his jacket, he headed back as fast as he dared. Chapter 22. Flame in the Void. When Rick returned home, he found Melissa in the middle of another fit, one that would have been a crisis until recently, but now happened regularly. Despite her shuddering, it looked as though she'd taken one of her pills and was clutching several of the lucrum-filled marbles he'd left her with. She was getting better at resisting the symptoms, so if only they could find a solution.
Melissa, can you hear me?
He touched her shoulder gently, afraid that she might break. Her eyes fluttered open.
Rick, do you have something?
I found a temporary solution that might make you feel better, but it's going to require a lot of work on your part. He explained the basic theory of the consuming flame where her soul should have had a lucrum seed. To his surprise, Melissa sat up and became much more alert, then actually smiled as he finished explaining.
Is that really it? It's funny, but hearing an explanation like that makes it seem so much more manageable. I thought there was just a hole in me, but...
She cut off, wincing and grabbing her heart.
It's not a real fit. Just hurts a bit.
We should start early. You're going to need to create a sphere of lucrum within yourself, similar to what they taught in L.E. about building cores, but it's going to be much more difficult.
Show me.
Since she seemed determined, Rick launched straight into the explanation. Melissa had always been sharp, so she picked it up quickly. Though she didn't have much experience working with lucrum and her body shivered involuntarily at times, she threw herself into the task. Soon she actually had the basics right, though after that she slumped back against the baseboard of her bed.
I think I got it a little, but I'm just so tired.
That's what this is for. Rick pulled the bottle of Philosopher's Elixir out of his backpack and held it just out of her reach. Now, this part is going to be a little dangerous. In theory, because you don't have a core, the elixir can't latch on and burn you, but you do have lucrum inside you, and it will react to that, so it will hurt a lot, and you'll need to be careful.
Rick, what type is that? How expensive was it?
Don't worry about that. You need to focus 100% on getting ready to use it. Though Melissa gave him another nervous glance, eventually she nodded determinedly. When he handed her the bottle, she took a whiff and looked queasy, but kept exposing herself to the intensity of it. As she did so, she began repeating the core exercise as well. Seeing her try so hard made something in him ache, but he didn't know what to say, and so he just helped guide her a little. Eventually, there was no sense in trying to prepare more, especially because another fit was likely before too long. Melissa gave him a weak smile and lifted the bottle without saying anything. Normally, she would have made some quip, or at least referenced an old joke, but she was silent. She really was quite worn down, but if she thought she was ready, he wouldn't stop her. She took a sip of the elixir, and a violent shudder went through her entire body. Rick automatically reached out and caught the bottle before any of it could spill, and got ready to catch her as well. But instead of collapsing, Melissa straightened her back and closed her eyes, repeating what she'd practiced. After several minutes, the rush of power from the sip became a glow within her. Rick knew they weren't out of the woods yet, but his tension eased a little. If they had been entirely wrong, that sip of Philosopher's Elixir could have killed her. This might work.
So weird.
Melissa opened her eyes in his direction, but didn't seem able to focus.
It's burning. I feel drunk. I mean, I've never been drunk, but I think this is how it would feel.
Was that a weak cover for your underage drinking? He tried for a joke, since she seemed a little better, but instead of responding, Melissa just gave another giggle and reached for the bottle. Something about her behavior bothered him a bit, but he handed it to her. Her second sip went more smoothly, not dropping the bottle this time. She took a third, then a fourth, repeating the core exercise with greater fervor. When she tried to take a fifth drink from the bottle, Rick held it gently. Don't go too fast, sis. Give yourself time.
I don't know. I've always felt broken, but now...
She shook her head, eyes still unfocused.
I need more.
Your core work feels good, as far as I can tell, but a core isn't enough. Your flame will just eat through it. Somehow, you need to push the inner lucrum of the sphere outward so it forms a hollow shell. Honestly, I've never done something quite like that before, so I don't know what to tell you.
I'll figure it out, Rick. Don't worry.
Melissa gave him a sharp smile and pulled the bottle back.
Trust me, I'll be okay. Just keep me from hitting my head on anything.
Though he wanted to hover around her, Rick decided that he could trust her to continue on her own. Melissa kept drinking from the bottle, larger doses each time. After several drinks, she set the bottle aside and slept for a few hours, but when she woke, she went back to work almost immediately. Rick sat at a distance, technically working on his own training, but struggling to focus on it. He'd never seen Melissa quite like this. She could be determined and hardworking, even stubborn, yet there was something else. The singular intensity with which she threw herself into the task before her was slightly manic in a way that troubled him, but he had to trust that she knew herself best. When only a quarter of the bottle was left, Melissa finally set it aside. Her fingers trembled in a way that they hadn't since she started the exercise, but not quite the same as a shivering fit. Once the bottle was in place on the nightstand, her arm fell back to her side as if it had no strength. She opened her mouth and might have tried to say his name, but no sound came out. Rick rushed to her side. Are you okay?
Tired.
Melissa struggled to keep her eyes open, but she was failing.
It kind of worked, but kind of not.
What do you mean?
I feel better, but only because I have a lot of power in me.
As she explained, Rick helped her lie down in a more comfortable position and tucked her in.
I kind of have a sphere, but I'm wound up really tight. It needs to be harder, but I'm afraid it's gonna break. Maybe try again in the morning.
Considering how hard she'd been working, it was more than time for her to take a break. Once he confirmed she was well on her way to sleeping peacefully, Rick headed out and closed the door behind him. Then he just sat on the couch for a while, recovering. His emotions had been through such a ringer, it was difficult to even feel relief. That emotion would be premature anyway, not when the solution was incomplete. Such expensive philosopher's elixir would have delayed the side effects of her condition anyway, so this proved nothing, not until they settled things. There was nothing he could do to help her with the core of her task, because ultimately everyone's lucrema was their own. You could only do so much to help fellow fighters get the feel for it, much less someone with a rare condition like his sister. What she'd said at the end, however, was something he could work with. Repeating exercises designed to modify cores often left people with tension they described as their soul wound up like a spring. Pressing too hard was actually bad for long-term development, since a tense lucrema would develop more slowly. In his sister's case, it could prove to be the flaw that made the entire plan come crumbling down. He might be able to find a solution to that, but not that night. Rick slept for a while, but was woken in the middle of a chilling dream of Melissa dying and coming back as some sort of zombie. He left the nightmare behind, yet his mind filled up with endless thoughts of things he should be doing. She needed more philosopher's elixir, and more pills, and likely some new medications. Even if certain elements of her situation were unique, he could assist with other elements. Overflowing with such thoughts, there was no way he was getting back to sleep. Instead, he stayed up and trained feverishly, watching his phone's clock. For once, he was awaiting the time he needed to go to work. Earlier, he had been planning to skip it, but now he had a reason to go. Before he left, he woke Melissa up just to be sure she was okay. Though a bit sleepy, she seemed determined to go back to her exercises, so he managed to convince himself it was okay to leave her. He rushed to work as quickly as he could. One of his clients was already waiting, and Rick did his best to actually focus, though he wasn't successful. As soon as his client was gone, Rick headed over to where Jimmy sat at his counter. "Boss, can I ask for a favor?" Jimmy grunted without looking up.
"Wish I could stop you. I need my paycheck a few days early."
"What?" That got his boss to look up, staring at him with death in his eyes.
"Why the fuck would I do that?
There's a family emergency and I can't afford everything I need."
"Come on, boss. I've been working here for years and I've always been a good employee."
"Pheh, not so much recently, getting into fights and bringing trouble back here. Do you honestly think I'd run off with the money or something? You know I'll still work here, I just need an advance."
Jimmy stared at him for a long time as if the very idea disgusted him, and eventually Rick had to give in. Fine, he wasn't going to get his paycheck early.
While he worked with his next client, he considered his other options. There was no way he could get a conventional loan quickly enough, but if he paid in lucrema, he had options. The most obvious would be to get a demonic bond. It would probably be a low-quality bond, given the circumstances, but if that was his only option, he would do it.
Rick? You okay?
He looked up and discovered that Lisa was already in the gym, watching him with a worried expression. Most likely, he'd been sitting there and muttering to himself like a madman, so he understood her concern. All he could do was smile weakly.
"Sorry, I'm just thinking about my sister. She has a condition. Things have been bad lately."
"Oh, I didn't know."
Lisa put her hands to her mouth, eyes filling with concern.
"You always said such nice things about your sister and how she was doing. I never thought she might... well..."
"Because she wouldn't want it to define her. But now..."
Rick took a deep breath and tried to put away any sense of shame.
"Lisa, I can't afford to pay you right away, but could I convince you to help my sister? She's working on a lucrum technique that will improve her condition, but it's tightening her lucrema. You have something that can help with that, right?"
Lisa nodded seriously.
"Most likely. Plenty of my clients overtrain themselves and need to have ether tension worked out. Some even plan for it and just consider it part of the job, though I think that's probably unhealthy. And you don't need to worry about paying. I..."
"No, we're not asking you for charity. We just..."
"Don't be stubborn. If you really want to pay me, do a good job sparring today."
Lisa smiled at him, and he couldn't keep arguing, though he did plan to pay her for the treatment at some point. Now that he had her cooperation assured, he was able to relax a little more. He did the best he could to spar with her. She'd improved her lucrema since the last time, and even though his portfolio was in worse shape, he was much more experienced fighting against stronger opponents than before. Somehow, he managed to barely keep up with her, forcing her to work hard to land any blows. Until his phone rang, his concentration vanished, and her next punch sent him flying into the wall.
"Oh, I'm so sorry."
Lisa rushed after him, shocked at her blow, but Rick didn't even feel the pain. He just crawled over to where he'd set his phone and accepted the call from his sister.
Made a breakthrough, but...
Her voice faded in and out, extremely faint even at the best of times. Rick leapt to his feet, holding it tighter to his ear to try to listen.
Draining too much. I have to...
Melissa? Melissa, stay awake. I'm coming. Rick kept the phone by his ear in case she said anything else, but there was only silence from the other end. He turned to find some way to apologize to Lisa, only to find her standing nearby with a serious look on her face.
It's your sister, isn't it? Is she in trouble?
I think so. Rick pushed past Lisa toward the door. I'm sorry, I have to go. She probably needs someone to stabilize her.
Or you could let me help.
Lisa moved alongside him, her aura flaring up around her. She opened the door with a wave of her hand and gestured for him to go, smiling grimly.
Don't even try to convince me otherwise. Come on, let's go.
Given the circumstances, he couldn't argue with her. They needed to get home as soon as possible and hope it wasn't too late. Chapter 23. Brotherhood. Letting someone carry him while flying didn't sit well with him, but it didn't matter compared to his sister's life. Lisa lifted into the air and hooked her arms under his shoulders, which pressed her against his back, but it barely occurred to him to be uncomfortable. All that mattered was that this would be a much faster way of getting home. Lisa's aura expanded around him and they lifted into the air. It had been a very long time since he'd flown with anyone, probably when he had been little and Uncle Frank had taken them on rides. This one was less smooth, but he was glad to see the city flashing underneath them. He directed Lisa to the apartment complex, and they were soon touching down in the parking lot. As they headed up, he felt a twinge of embarrassment that Lisa would see his neighborhood and crappy apartment. Judging from how surprised she looked at some of the usual characters nearby, she was obviously used to nicer suburbs. But she was still going to help Melissa, so he would suffer much worse than that. When he got the door open, he forgot about Lisa entirely, rushing in to find his sister. Instead of shivering, she lay in bed with her back arched and her fingers clawing at the sheets. She wasn't fading. She was on fire. Rick wasn't sure what to do, so he just sat down beside her and felt her lucrema. The sphere hadn't been consumed, but he felt an enormous ether void. That must be the flame burning hotter than usual. Since she didn't even seem to notice his presence, he tried to take her hand, slowly peeling her clenched fingers away. Abruptly, they snapped to grab his hand, gripping tightly. Melissa closed her eyes and made a soft, painful sound, but he wasn't sure what to do. When he extended a stream of lucrum, like usual, her spirit sucked it in like water on parched ground, so he extended more to her. By the time it was over, he felt exhausted and drained, but the fire seemed to be quenched. Melissa finally turned her head to focus on him, her entire body relaxing gradually. She let go of his hand and instead reached up to touch the side of his face.
Thank you. I knew you'd come for me.
He held her hand in both of his own and maintained eye contact, keeping her from drifting away. I'm glad you're all right now, but what's your condition?
It hurt a bit, but I actually made a shell, just a weirdly stiff one.
Melissa started to gesture to herself, then jumped a bit. Rick tracked her gaze and saw that she'd noticed Lisa standing in the doorway. The older woman was watching them with a smile on her face.
Oh, hi. Hello, Melissa,
Lisa said.
I've heard good things about you from your wonderful brother. Yep, really wonderful.
Rick nodded between them. Melissa, this is Lisa, the massage therapist I help train. She has lucrema techniques that should be helpful to you if you still feel like you're carrying too much tension.
Yeah, I am. That's just what I needed.
Apparently feeling better with each passing moment, Melissa sat up and gave him a hug.
I can't believe you actually brought someone here. You're the best brother ever.
Smiling broadly, Lisa stepped backward from the room.
I'll give you two some time alone, okay? Melissa, I can give you a massage that should help loosen your lucrema and heal soul scarring, but it's not something to get into while you're feeling uneasy. It would probably be best after another round of exercising, when everything is stiffest, if you're up to that.
I'm feeling a lot better now thanks to my big brother. Just give me a few minutes to get back on my feet.
Of course.
Lisa backed out and closed the door. Though for a moment Rick wondered what Lisa would think of their apartment, he soon turned back to Melissa and raised an eyebrow. Okay, I get that you'd be grateful, but you are really playing this up. Are you sure you're okay? To his surprise, his sister giggled.
Oh, I was absolutely playing it up. Did you see how Lisa was looking at you?
What? He just stared at her, prompting her to stifle another giggle and pat his shoulder.
Big bro, guys who can be nurturing are really hot. Lisa's heart was just melting over there.
Though he felt immense relief to see his sister teasing him again, Rick just scowled and swatted her hand away. Okay, I think you've had enough to drink.
No, no!
She laughed and leapt to grab the bottle before he could take it.
I'm going to do just what she said and do the exercise again. In fact, I think with everything I've learned, I can handle all the rest of this at once. If her massages can really do what she claims, then that should be perfect. It won't be exactly a permanent show, but I'll be in better condition than I've ever been.
Lisa is a professional with clients who have hundreds of thousands of lucrum. I'm sure she'll be able to help you, so if you're feeling up for it, we can try now.
Melissa's smile faded, and she looked at him in concern.
That means she's really expensive, right? Can we afford this?
No, she was insisting that we don't have to pay. I still want to, but... He trailed off as Melissa smirked at him. What is it now?
So, she's offering to help you for free, huh? Yeah, I'm sure she's just an especially kind-hearted individual with no interest in you whatsoever. Yep, that's definitely it.
Rick rolled his eyes and stood up. Okay, if you're healthy enough to mess with me, you're healthy enough to give this a try. Let me know if you need anything, otherwise I'll leave it to you. As he walked out, he saw Melissa drinking everything remaining in the bottle of Philosopher's Elixir in one breath. That much high-intensity elixir would have knocked him out, yet his sister was fine. When he felt her lucrema, it didn't feel large or healthy, still a burning void within a shell, yet he had to admit that from the outside, she certainly seemed to be doing much better. He and Lisa chatted for a bit, but soon Melissa called her in. They closed the door for the massage, leaving him abruptly alone. When he started to sit down on the couch, he practically fell into it, his body heavy. Perhaps it was the lucrum he'd poured into his sister, or perhaps his body was just exhausted from the stress. Though he couldn't entirely relax, he at least felt as though the worst was past. With no current crisis looming, he was able to focus on his exercises again. They felt a bit like familiar friends now, and it was good to focus on his own lucrema. His new core had grown, just as it was meant to, which was encouraging. When he began repeating Buffett's buffer, he was surprised how much good he got out of it again. Apparently, all his recent work had produced new gains to harvest. Had the massage only lasted a short time, he would have been completely content. But as time extended on, less pleasant emotions began to creep in. He found himself thinking about how much he had spent recently and how much of his own lucrum he had drained. If he had invested those back into himself, how far could he have come? Immediately, Rick felt intense guilt, and he tried to shove the thoughts from his mind, but he couldn't deny that he'd felt them. Maybe that made him a bad brother, but he was only human. Still, he was a human being who loved the only family he had left. It had been worth the sacrifice. When the door opened, he leapt to his feet, but Lisa raised a finger to her lips as she exited. He looked past her and saw Melissa curled up in bed, apparently sleeping peacefully. There was no shivering or draining, and when he checked the medical app, it still displayed an ether void value, but also complete stability. That was probably their goal for now.
Well, that was intense.
Lisa spoke quietly and padded closer to him, having taken off her shoes at some point.
I feel incredibly drained, but it was worth it just to experience a client like that. I had to stretch myself a bit, but I gave her what she needed to finish her work.
He wanted to reassure her again that they'd pay, but other issues came first. So she's formed a stable shell?
It feels that way to me. The first one was dangerously brittle, but when I helped her relax, she caught on quickly. I'm no expert on her medical condition, so I can't make any real promises, but I feel like she's in excellent shape.
That's a huge relief. Thank you, Lisa.
Oh, no problem.
She dropped down heavily onto the couch and sighed heavily.
If you want to thank me, let me stay here tonight.
Lisa went from tired and relaxed to flushing and waving her hands abruptly.
I didn't mean like that. I'm just really drained, and even if I restored my lucrum, I don't think I'm safe to fly. So let me crash at your place, and in the morning I can check on your sister again. That's all I meant.
Right. Rick nodded slowly. Of course you can stay. We owe you a lot.
It feels weird to be sitting while you're looming around. Sit down.
Since she seemed insistent, Rick sat down beside her. Lisa sat back against the couch, not quite touching him. She seemed far more relaxed than he would have been in a stranger's home. He wasn't sure what to say, so found himself drifting back to the subject of payment. While I won't be able to pay your fee right away, I'm earning enough that I...
Oh, stop it.
Lisa looked at him with a frown that slowly became a smile.
I'll be offended if you keep talking about payment like that. We've been sparring together long enough that we're friends, aren't we? Friends should be able to help each other.
Thank you, Lisa. He smiled back at her. It was a warm, comfortable moment, but it was less warm because over Lisa's head he could see into his sister's bedroom. No longer asleep, she had sat up to listen. When he met her gaze, she wiggled her eyebrows at him. He wanted to groan, but that would have just led to uncomfortable questions with Lisa, so he kept his expression neutral.
I admire you,
Lisa said quietly.
I had two little brothers growing up, and I don't think I could ever have taken care of them the way you take care of Melissa. Honestly, I'm not that close with my family at all. It's nice to see an older brother who cares so much.
As she spoke, she leaned against him a little more, pushing against his arm. Rick resisted the urge to react at first, not sure if it would be the wrong move, but eventually decided he was being stubborn. He put an arm around her shoulders in a merely friendly way, supporting her while she rested. It was just companionable silence. That was all. Over Lisa's head, Melissa made a circle with her thumb and index finger, and then poked one finger from her other hand through it vigorously, grinning all the while. Despite the circumstances, Rick grinned back and rolled his eyes at her. He wasn't sure if his sister was right or what he thought of such a development, but it didn't really matter. The fact that his sister was joking with him again was a significant sign that things were actually okay. He felt certain that meant something new would go wrong shortly. But for a time, at least, he was at peace. Chapter 24. Past the Storm. Rick woke up, groggy and disoriented, and for a moment was convinced that he'd been kidnapped and taken to some remote location. That would fit with how his life usually went. Then his mind re-engaged, and he remembered that after some arguing, he'd slept on the floor the previous night. There were rumpled blankets on the couch from where Lisa had slept, though it seemed that she was already awake. Not in the living room with him, which meant that there weren't really very many options for where the other two could be. When he got up, however, he found that neither of them were in the bedroom. Just when he started to worry, the two of them emerged from the bathroom. Rick blinked at them a few times. Did the two of you go to the bathroom together in the same house?
There's only one.